Hello, welcome to UCB's Long Form Conversations. I keep wanting to call it by the old name. I have to stop myself from doing that.
You've done it right every time.
Thank you. Sitting across from me, head in hand, looking cherubic, is Thank Will you. Hines.
And across from me, looking polemic and churlish, John Frusciante. I've already alienated everybody listening.
That's all right.
And me.
And then we have our guest.
Uh-huh. We have our guest, Mr.
Don Finelli.
Yeah,
is our
I don't
guest.
Know what those words mean.
You don't know, polemic is sort of like provocatively argumentative, and churlish is like just being, you know, rebellious and a little shit.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. I yeah. get those. Yeah, yep. Rebellious and a little shit. I got yeah. it.
How are you, Will?
I'm all right. I was on jury duty and I got discharged today. So
yeah, I wasn't happy. Expecting you to be here, and I'm
yeah,
glad
the
it's
the judge
a
just came
surprise.
Out and said, "All right, we have an issue. We can't resolve. So you can all go away."
Good.
It was a personal injury thing where a guy was trying to sue the city. It was really annoying.
Huh.
We didn't actually even hear the story, so.
That's all you know?
That's it.
We didn't hear much more than that, actually. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fresh off your internet battle, Will?
Yeah, I got into a flame war with an anonymous. First of all, I have an improv blog, Don. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no,
improvnonsense.tumblr.
Yeah. Would it kill you to read that blog, Don?
I read it.
Once in a while.
I do. Once in a while, I
yeah,
read it.
Yeah, yeah.
You are all correct. Yeah. Everything you're saying, you're getting mad at me, but I do it.
Well, good.
Yes.
Thank you for agreeing with me, Don.
You're getting
welcome.
Into another flame war.
Why don't you just shut up?
Well, you did not get all that energy out. You want to just keep arguing, huh?
Yeah, I
Use
got into
fingers.
A flame war. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
It doesn't
I got
matter.
An argument with probably what was like a 12-year-old person about like improv.
Probably.
I got insulted and just...
I assume if it's anonymous that it's a 12-year-old person.
It probably is not. I mean, this guy had a legitimate question, but he framed it in a way mm-hmm. that I did not like, and I got right. angry at his framing of it,
mm-hmm.
and he kept wanting me to dismiss that framing and answer his question. I refused.
Gotcha.
I displayed poor improv tactics.
Mm.
I did not yes-and his intention. I yes-anded the part that annoyed me.
Right.
Right.
How can I stop this scene, I said to myself.
Right.
This is how.
You can't.
Well, look, I admire your ability to even, like, entertain that kind of question, or that's not what I mean to say. What I mean to say is I feel like you have a gift of patience mm-hmm. for questions like that that I don't necessarily have.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I... it's right. true. I, like...
Are you
I,
laughing because, like, no one can even know what we're talking about, Saif, and we're not even talking about Don?
I'm laughing at...
The idea of me being patient?
No, a question that I asked John in 101.
What was it?
It was like...
This is Saif It Sounds, our podcast intern.
Hi. Yeah, who will
crazy.
Only ever be an intern
He's only an intern,
uh-huh.
even though he is
superstar.
A yeah. superstar radio
Not
station.
In here. When you walk
Not
through
here.
That door,
no. He's a goddamn intern.
You humble no. yourself before us. So what was the question? I don't remember it at all.
I think I asked you like, hey, this stuff is kind of hard. How do I practice this stuff at home? Mm-hmm. Or is there any tactics I can teach my girl to play back and forth with me.
Yeah.
And you were like, it's too intense of a question like to answer.
Did email. I say that?
Something
oh,
like
boy.
That.
Over email this was?
Yeah. No. Was
oh,
it
in person?
Was it over email?
It was an email.
Oh.
It was an email.
Huh. Really? I wouldn't entertain that question over email? I must have been busy.
You
Sorry. I feel bad about that.
Yeah, polemic and churlish.
No, I understand
yeah.
now. It was a stupid,
yeah,
at
yeah.
that level, it was a stupid question.
No, I don't think there are any stupid questions per se.
But you learn those things later on. You have
right.
to like...
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
All right, so let's. What are we doing here?
Oh, I don't know.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So John Frusciante is sitting
right.
across from me, and my name's Will Hines. This is the UCB Long Form Conversations.
That's
podcast.
Right. It
you
is.
Said
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. We've
Don
got
Finelli,
all that.
You're
yeah.
our guest.
Yeah. Right.
So
Don Finelli.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. I'll be the guest. Sure.
Improviser, UCB, New York.
Yep. You are on the Harold team dinner. No, I mean Sam and Diane.
Sam and Diane.
And the Maud team dinner.
Maud team dinner. That's mm-hmm. correct.
You yep. were on the legendary improv team Sandino.
Right.
That's right.
A couple months. Yep.
And then you were on. Opera before that?
Right. Well, the opera was my first team.
What am I missing?
You're missing a couple. You're
okay.
missing
Dybbuk.
I lost track.
Yeah, that's right. Dybbuk.
Standard Oil.
Standard Oil.
Oh, right.
Still Mike.
Still Mike.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Dance
yeah.
Break? No, not Dance Break.
Not Dance Break. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I coached them one time.
Standard
they were,
oil,
made me laugh a lot.
Okay.
Standard
that counts.
Oil.
If you coach a team and they laugh and you laugh, then you are on the team.
Yep.
And you're
yeah.
sort of
it's
a
good.
Regular featured character in the Chris Gethard universe.
Right, that's right, right, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. we were from like the OG of the Chris Gethard show, right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. the
that's
original
right.
grouping of that.
We're going to talk about all that. Yeah. We have our podcast intern, as we said, Saif It Sounds.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
And then off mic, his intern Ian,
right?
Who is the ghost mm-hmm. that we refer to?
That's right.
He's off mic,
and we are both from New Jersey.
That's
you and
right,
I, Don.
Yeah.
Most of this podcast will not be about improv,
no.
but about
Jenkins
Pavilion on the Point Pleasant. Bruce Springsteen,
right.
Rutt's Hut.
What's it with people from New Jersey who got to jerk themselves off about New Jersey every time they meet someone?
Everyone
because
shits
they,
on
Jersey's
us.
Fucking
really?
Great.
Yeah,
that's why. Yeah,
and
we get
great.
Shit on, and we have to defend ourselves.
What comes first? Is it your own like masturbatory attitude towards it, and then you get shit on, or is it
no? That we get
shit on,
and we have to develop this scrappy
working
man's blue collar attitude towards defending ourselves.
I just don't see people from Vermont like bring it up every 10 seconds.
They're high. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's why.
They're fucking relaxed.
Yeah.
They're relaxed.
Bunch
dudes.
Of fish fans.
Fucking relaxed dudes.
Yeah, throwing a frisbee around and singing Dave Matthews to each other.
To each other.
So now here's a very fascinating thing that I've always been interested in about you, Don,
okay.
is that you come from, you were an engineer.
I was, yeah. I graduated with an industrial engineering degree from Lehigh University.
Woo!
Right.
Yeah. Originally named the Engineers and then got changed to the Mountain Hawks. But their like original mascot was like a train.
Is that right?
Yeah, swear to God.
That's
adorable.
Sort of
like a train at a football
game. It was
just
like a train.
Go Engineers!
Yeah.
Get there on time.
Yeah. Make the best play.
Figure out the best system for beating this team.
We're efficient. We're efficient. Yeah.
So you got an engineering degree and you worked as an engineer.
Yeah, I worked as an engineer.
Before falling into...
I did.
This podcast could be 9 hours long. Don Finley is one of my favorite storytellers and has amazing stories.
Which
I don't have time to get into it, but your depressed story about like watching the lime.
I found a video of it. I have to show it to you.
I got it. This is
I
like,
found a video
Finley
of
and I were talking about being depressed after college.
Right.
Okay.
Or maybe just in general or something like that.
Yeah, both.
Yeah. You had some horrible job where you basically had to sit and watch somebody just like... like leave stripes of lime on a field?
Yeah, like on acres of land. Before construction takes place on warehouses, they have to like treat the land first, treat the soil. So they have these like huge industrial tractor-ish people that drive these big machines that lay lime down on the soil so it can be treated correctly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would have to like document every time they turned how much lime they were, like calculate how much lime they were putting down.
Oh my God.
So I'm out
in the middle of nowhere.
I'm in the middle of fucking nowhere in a trailer with no heat that I'd have to drive like 5 miles to pick up kerosene to put in a kerosene heater. And I'd sit by myself, but I just found a video of it. And
I gotta see it.
Yeah,
oh
it's. I saw it. I was like, I want to fucking kill myself right now. Just looking at that. I can't believe I. I would like go out. It was like in the middle of January. There'd be like wind blowing everywhere,
Jesus.
And I have to go piss. My dick was like a half an inch long.
He's
it was
making
so
a
fucking,
tiny amount of length of his fingers.
Yeah,
yes.
You guys can't
so
see that.
I guess the question is, why would you leave all that for improv?
Yeah, I don't know. I just took a chance.
Are you asking how come an engineer?
Yeah,
there's all
I
kinds of
here?
Contradictions with Finelli.
Yeah.
You first meet, let's get into this.
Yeah.
When you first meet Finelli, you assume frat boy meathead.
Yeah.
Totally.
This guy's like seems like a muscle bound kind of frat boy bro.
Which I was.
Which you were, yeah.
Right.
There's an aspect of that that's true.
Yeah, there's a
then you
big
find
aspect.
Out that he's a super smart engineer.
Right.
Crazy memory, crazy analytical power.
Yeah.
Then you find out, oh, he's a comedian.
Yeah, he's also hilarious. And
that's weird.
Yeah.
Unfold the onion.
Okay.
What is it? What's the.
Unpeel the onion, peel the layers of the onion, peel back the layers of the onion.
Yeah, I'm a chef as well, so.
Unbox
also
the onion.
Nope, that's wrong.
No, you're going even further away from it.
Sure. Spindle the onion.
Yeah.
Well, I'm done. That's all I wanted to say.
So what take us through that. What happened? How did you get interested? How did you find UCB? How did you get interested in comedy?
Yeah, I'll do the extreme quick version of this one because it starts, it's like childhood, I loved acting. So I was in a lot of plays when I was a kid, in school plays, like bullshit school plays. I was like, and I was always like the lead and I was like, this is easy. This is fun.
Right.
So I had this like natural ability to like being on stage.
Yeah.
Kind of like I was not shy at all. I had like a lot of friends.
And it is easy and fun. I'm still the lead in elementary school plays, and it's really simple for me.
Yeah,
it's really great.
I'm going to testify later your right to do that.
Yeah, right.
And I have to pay you off to testify in my favor.
No
okay.
problem.
So you're doing this.
So I liked being on stage. Then I was in a band in high school. I was in a band in college. So again, I liked being on stage. But like sports always took over for me. So I played sports my whole life, baseball, football. basketball, track. I did like everything, a lot of it. So I could never like get back on stage. So the music was my outlet for a while. I love music. I still play music. I'm still trying to tie that into shit. But like, love music, love being on stage, all that good
stuff. Do you remember the name of your bands?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Vital Element. These are horrible. These are horrible fucking band names.
Okay.
Vital Element.
Were there any vocals? That sounds like a long, like ambient.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, well, it was a Pink Floyd influence. But I was vocals. Okay. And this other dude. His vocals were like guitarists and all that good stuff. And then The Water Tree was my college band. Yeah, they loved Dream Theater and Fish. So that's what we did. It was insane.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, so when I was doing engineering, I was severely depressed right out of college, like 2005, 2006. I moved back home. I'm like, fuck this. I can't do it anymore. My apartment flooded. I think I told you about that. Maybe not. It was like, there's a lot of stories there.
Okay.
But no time for that. But
what do you think was the source of your depression? Can you give me like a thumbnail?
I was by myself a lot, which I'm okay. I'm a loner. I like being by myself and all that good stuff. I don't need like a lot of people around all the time. But I had this creative kind of thing, and I had no outlet for it when I was by myself. And I missed like playing music with people. I missed being in a group and just basically like answering that creative flow.
Okay.
And I got fucking severely depressed, and I was like, I don't think I really want to do this. I never really wanted to do engineering. It was just like one of those like life things. You're like, what am I? I was just a pussy. I never really like went for what I really wanted to.
Okay.
So I really hated myself for that and taking the time, but you know, so I moved back home and I was like, I think I want to get back on stage. My dad's good friend was an actor in the 80s and 90s. He took classes here. He's like an older actor, but, I was like, you know what? I want to meet up with them. So I met up with them in Union City where he was living. And he was like, you know, the quickest way, I was like, I think I want to be an actor. Like,
was
I don't
it know Danny why. Glover?
It was Danny Glover. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Not the actor we know.
Not the people we know.
No, not the guy we know.
Yeah.
No. Okay. No, this guy that owns a bodega. No. But yeah. So, this guy named Jose, but, he basically talked to me. He's like, if you want the quickest way to get on stage, if you know you want to do it, I just took classes at the UCB. He's like, do you know it? I was like, yeah, I have a picture of the UCB signed in my room this whole time because my dad is Ian Roberts' dentist. So he gave, it's fucking really weird.
Yeah.
So I had like a signed picture by all of them and like never really knew who they were for like 2 years, like in my bedroom. I was like, don't think, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, right.
People like clutching against like
the chain fence,
promo.
Fence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a so promo picture that. From the TV show.
Yeah. So everything kind of came together. So I was like, he's like, let's take a $2 bus in, see a show. And I saw, Improv Varieté and Film Noir. Those are the first shows
I saw.
I sat down. There was like 8 people in the audience. It was a very light crowd.
Yeah, and I was like, Wednesday night show.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa. I remember Nate Lang making a move, and I'll never forget. It was like the first thing I remember. Like it was a documentary. Like he went to come up and say something, and 2 people just like didn't see him and cut him off. And in Nate Lang fashion, he just didn't say anything, but had that face and like nodded slowly and slowly walked away. And I was like, I love that. I don't know why, but that was really funny.
Right.
So that was like my first like improv memory.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever spoken a word to Nate Lang either. But yeah, so that and it was between that and culinary school too, because I really loved cooking. So it was between like taking classes at UCB or going into like culinary school.
Okay.
And I was like, I think this is like, I still think I want to be on stage. So I took a 101, and that was that. That was kind of the short version.
Okay.
Maybe it was a long version. I don't know how long that was, but
that's a good version.
That's a good version. That's
But in between all, so like once I started taking classes to then, I've had like a lot of different jobs too.
Okay.
So like sales and. Uh-huh. Headhunting.
So you come to UCB and study because you feel like you want to get on stage.
Yep,
and you want.
That was
like,
it. That's why I had no. I had, like my comedy. I was never like a sketch comedy guy. I was like, I was talking to somebody about this, maybe Josh Rubin, about this one time. Where we were like, we never grew up, like it wasn't like Family Circus or anything. Not Family Circus. I don't even fucking know Monty Python.
Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah, that one.
Not Family Circus.
Yeah, that's a finale right there. That's a Fennelly-ism. Yeah. Okay.
There's a big.
I don't actually think that's typical of you, but when I met you, I assumed you would say things like that all the time.
Yeah. No, I kind of do.
The first time you've said.
Yeah, no. But
I do enjoy that.
Yeah. But I was like
so families. Can I just say I'm trying to get in the habit of explaining references?
Yes.
Yeah, do it.
So Monty Python's Flying Circus, British sketch show. Yeah, right. Comedy. John Cleese, yeah. Blah blah. Family
circus is what I used to read.
The one panel,
yep.
Toothless saccharine.
Yep.
Cute kids saying cute shit. When you want to strangle them all.
Right. Yeah. Who did it? I don't know. And then there's a ghost named I don't know that actually did it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. My bad. So I never grew up on like sketch comedy stuff. It was always like Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. My first like major love was in Living Color. That was like, I remember watching that as a young kid and just laughing all the time. I was like, these guys are funnier than everyone.
Yeah.
Like anything I've ever seen, these guys kill it. Like just totally. And I couldn't comprehend that as like a young kid, but that's all I remember. So like, that was like my influence. It was never like kind of the highbrow, highbrow kind of sketch comedy approach. Okay.
You weren't like a classic comedy nerd.
No way. No way. It was just like I could quote, you know, all of like Happy Gilmore for you and like Billy Madison. Like I can go through all the Jim Carrey movies and like tell you how many times I've fucking seen those things. But like I was never, the comedy side. So I never saw myself as a comedian. I just wanted to be an actor.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is the way to get on stage. I didn't know I was like the funny thing. Like I just.
What did it grab you? Because I think I met you in 401.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were in deep at that point. You were...
Not that much, though. This is the thing. Like 101, 201, 301, I spread out. Uh-huh. Like, and I only took Sunday classes because I could take a bus in on Sundays. And like, I didn't even comprehend. I grew up outside New York, like in North Jersey.
Yeah.
But the only way I ever got in was we never drove in. We always took like buses and trains.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh yeah, I have to wait for a Sunday class because it's like the easy, because I was working.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll wait for a Sunday class and just take Sunday classes. So I only took Sunday classes. I took like 101 and 201 in like 2007.
Yeah.
You know, 301 and 401 with you in like 2008. And then 2008, I took 501 with you as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I started getting pretty involved. I had like my first practice group, I would say, after your 401. That was my first practice group.
What kept
me going?
Yeah. What kept you? What? So you take 101.
Right.
You're not a comedy nerd.
Right.
You're beating up the comedy nerds and pushing them into lockers.
Yeah. A lot of swirlies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of swirlies.
So I want to say that's not true, right? That's what you assume when you meet Don.
Right. It wasn't. I was like,
it's not what you're like.
Not at all. Like I don't. I didn't even assume that. I hate bullies. Yeah. I really do. Like
I never assume that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I never. I can get into the mind of a bully.
That's
about it. I can act like a bully.
Because you're a profiler. That's one of the jobs you've had. You're a police profiler.
The thing that I guess kept me was like, I don't know, maybe like Betsy Stover is a great 101 teacher and she like, you know, broke me out of my shell a little bit. Like I had no idea what the hell was going on. I rarely saw shows. The only shows I really saw were weekend shows because that's when I would come in. Cause like during the week I could never really come in cause of work.
Right.
So I saw a bunch of Robin Williams shows that kind of kept me interested.
Yeah.
I remember like the first Robin Williams show. I sat in the front row and I fell off my chair laughing at a move Anthony King did. Yeah. I'll never forget it. It was like just like this pattern that they were doing at a TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
And like it started with one waiter and then the next iteration was a second waiter, but they would always be like after everything and be like, the specials are like soup, and everyone would go like da, 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 like do this crazy shit. And then like Anthony King came in for like the third one. He's like, the special is me fucking you. And I like it was totally broke everything and I fell off my chair laughing. I never forgot. So that kind of peaked, like kept me there too.
Okay.
And then I had 201 with Charlie Sanders, which was a blast. I wish he was still teaching if he can. Like it was crazy.
We stopped letting him teach improv. Not because he's a hilarious performer and a great sketch teacher. And actually, he can be a good improv teacher, but he got so impatient.
Yeah, he did.
He gets so impatient.
But I loved
it right away.
I loved it.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't. We would have. It was sort of like calm down, or maybe don't do this. He's like, man, I'll just.
It was the closest to like my football background that I got, where he was like, no, yes, this. It was like direct. I was like, oh, I love this shit.
Wow.
You know. And then like after that, he like came up to me casually. He's like, "Hey, you gonna like go to like 301?" I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Yeah, you should like do it." I was like, oh, "Okay." You know, I was like, probably like didn't even probably said that to everyone. You know?
When I had you in my class, he mentioned, he's like, "Oh, you got Finelli? That guy's hilarious."
Yeah, yeah. He was great, man. I fucking love Charlie Sanders so much, and probably that's why I went to Ruben Williams a lot too, just to see what he would do. Yeah, but they
were
all great.
Writer on Key and Peele.
Yeah, I know.
Charlie Sanders.
That's right.
So great. Another great sketch show. Right.
Yeah,
it really is. Probably the best thing.
You can see Charlie all over that show. I feel like
there's a character named Charlie Sanders. You can fly.
Yeah, yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's
but
Charlie
I feel like
Sanders.
The sketches are very Sanders-y.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can see the UCB influence in that because like they're all UCB writers.
It's great.
The writing staff.
Ian's like
and
one of the
Ian is the executive producer.
So good. I think it's the best
game
show
early,
out right now.
Like first or second line and then heightened very directly.
Yeah.
So great.
And a lot of Key and Peele sketches are like textbook.
Yeah. You remember the sketch where they're like talking about what their wives said and they're exaggerating what their wives said. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then I was like, bitch, did you actually say that? Yeah. Like that heightens like textbook UCB heightening.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple pattern.
It's good. I love that show.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
They're good.
I just had good teachers and but I spread everything out and I was never like fully invested in it. Maybe I never got crazy about it.
Right.
So I didn't get affected by it. You know how like I didn't jump into I remember like Tim Martin saying it's a little cultish and like that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I never got into that because I was always an outsider.
Right.
So I never got like influenced negatively on that side. It was always like coming in from the outside, like appreciating where I was and then like having fun. Like that's all I took it as. Like,
yeah,
that's it. But whenever I start doing something, I get like, I want to be great at it.
Uh-huh.
So I work really hard at that stuff. So that's when it started like keeping me there.
And, yeah.
You know, so I'm like, I gotta like do more of this and more of this. And then 401 with you was a really good class. Yeah. That's where I met Benjamin Apple.
Right. Was Lou Lasher?
Lou
in that class?
Lasher was in that class. Tim Gerbach. Tony Canty was in that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such like a funny group of people. And that's when we formed a group after that. This girl, Erin, was in that class. I forgot her last name.
Okay.
Ross? Yeah. Erin Roth. Yeah, super funny. Just like a good group of people. And that's when we formed our first like practice group. I remember like Eddie Brawley and like Joey Burns kind of jumping into that.
Yeah.
And there's some like just funny people. And we just like meet with great coaches. We had like Anthony Atamanik and like Gabris and just
this to me, that time to me was like right before one of the big LA exoduses. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. The first big LA exodus to me is when Respecto Montalban all left.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, and like, you know, a lot of guys, mother, but this was right before sort of like the next, maybe not right before, but like a year before like Curtis and...
Yeah.
And
there had been like a lot of people on Harold Knight for a while. There had been like the same...
There was this buildup of senior people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there were like a lot of good people who had time on their hands. Mm-hmm. They weren't on weekend teams. They were still doing Harold Knight. They could coach Harold teams.
Right.
They could do a lot
there was.
Of shows.
That was cool. That was a cool time, I thought, because there was a lot of like experienced people.
Was teaching one class a week, so he would coach for like $5.
Yeah, right. It was awesome. It was just like the best. Just lucked out with that. And that's when I started getting into it. And like right after that, I jumped in. There was like you and Shannon offered the first two 12-week courses.
That's right.
12-week Harold 500s.
Yeah.
So I went from the 400 to your 400 to your 500.
Right.
Me and Benjamin both went
that's
into
right.
that class.
Darcy was in that and Tim Dunn.
That was a stacked class. Darcy, Tim, Achilles.
Was Achilles in that?
Achilles was in that. Mm. I was like, what the fuck? He's in
everybody
my Harold team.
Yeah.
What's going on here? You know, everyone. I can. But that's where I met Ann Gervin. Ann was in that team. And then like after that, I was like, hey, I'm looking for a practice group. And I think like they formed Zuleika after that.
Yeah.
And then I joined my first like group that I performed with, which was Taco Night.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I started. It was 2009 was like my first team I was ever on.
Wow.
And that was Taco K-N-I-G.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. My first punned team and first team ever. Yeah.
Okay.
Love good classes.
Yeah, those,
you get
that
a certain
really
critical mass of people who are just smart and good. Everything is fun.
I think someone told me, like, if you're not the worst one in the class, keep going. I remember hearing that at some point. So I was like, I don't think I'm the worst one here, so I'll keep going.
Yeah.
And I just used that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's like kind of what kept me going. And then I got like, I like fell off the cliff and got like obsessed in 2009 and did like shows. There was like a month where I did like 15, 16 shows on the indie scene. Like
Matt Chesmore was in that class.
Matt Chesmore.
He's doing that iPad commercial right now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you remember he and Darcy did the scene? One of my favorite scenes I've ever seen in class where Darcy
I do remember this.
You do already know what I'm saying?
I think so.
This is the headshot, the corporate headshot scene. She was like, she was a photographer taking Matt Chesmore's like headshot. She's like, all right, sir, this is for the annual report. And she was like, okay. And she just takes a picture. And he like smiles very genuinely, and she so sweetly goes. She goes, I think he just looked just like a little creepy, just like a little creepy. Little bit. So just like let's try.
He
to
wasn't even
that.
Trying. He like, wasn't trying. It was to. So funny. It was so subtle and
was,
nice.
Was and is a really good improviser. And, yeah. But he stood there, redid it, and just seeing somebody try to not look creepy when you're watching them
get
was
even
like
more and more creepy. It was great.
Hilarious. Yeah. Like I was sobbing with tears watching that scene.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember I remember before this that I didn't really break out of my shell, but I kind of really broke out of my shell when you're like, just do something big. You did one of those. Like, come on, all right, guys, like just initiate with something big. And I'll never forget it. Like I remember like coming out and high kicking and being like, do you remember this? And I was like, I want to do your taxes.
Yes.
And
I was like, Tim Dunn doing this?
Yeah,
together?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, high
you
kicking.
You and Tim Dunn high kicking together was
one
of the
saying we're
going to
do your taxes
as an initiation, like, crazy weird.
Yeah,
funny.
But that was a great class, and I that's where I met Anne, and then Taco Night, and then I just like fell off the deep end with this.
So
shit.
You're starting to get involved with people that you are in classes with. And
I always like looked up to people, and I remember. Just seeing a lot of people. That's when I started going to a lot more shows, going to like 600s, going to Harold Night a lot, and really just like dove into it. And I was like, anything that I eventually got good at, I was never like great right away at anything. I always I started off like batting seventh, say.
Right.
You know, like in Little League. And then like on the all-star Little League team, I was like fifth.
Baseball reference.
That's a baseball reference. Yes. But I use all analogies with sports. It's like the easiest
baseball
analogy.
Is the easiest.
I think. Yeah. With improv for me, it's like, oh, it's just like this. And you can still relate analogies.
Digression. Basketball and jazz are the best metaphors for improv. But baseball works just because for all. Mm-hmm. Baseball has more metaphors for all English language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Dumbest point ever.
There's
made
also here's a
podcast.
Here's a digression off of that digression.
Okay.
I always talk about The Legend of Bagger Vance, the book, The Legend of Bagger Vance by Stephen Pressfield.
I can't believe that we've gotten here.
Yeah.
It's a book you might be familiar with the movie.
Sure. Yeah.
Will Smith and Matt Damon.
Yeah.
The book. It's about a golf player who's like trying to learn how to get better at playing golf.
Okay.
If you read that book, there are a lot of analogies in that book to improvisation.
Interesting.
It's just art in general.
I'm not going to read it.
Me either.
No.
You shouldn't. Nobody should.
I don't know.
It's audible.org recommendation
Pow!
For this week.
Sorry.
Okay.
So sorry. I don't know if I just start saying stories and get.
Oh, you got really into it. You were going to see all 600s and stuff. And
I wanted to ask you about this. So you were talking about how you started to get better, or you push yourself to get better. You don't start out being the best at things, but you push yourself to get better. What do you think is, like, how do you think you do that, or what do you think?
I make a decision that no one's going to work harder than me. I seriously do that. I go, no one's going to work harder than me. And for 2009, I don't think any other improviser did. And, like, that's how I really think.
Do you set specific goals for yourself, or do you, like, watch what other people are doing and try to work harder than them?
Yep. All of that, honestly. Like, I'll set, like, a year goal and then, like, monthly goals. And then I'll watch people and be like, I really love what they're doing. I think I can do it even better. I don't know how.
Uh-huh.
Like, do shit like that. Like, that was an amazing move. I don't think I'll ever be able, like watching Will. Like, I'm like, I don't think I can make a move like he just did. But I'm going to try to make an even better move than he just did. I'm going to try to figure out how he did his move and then try to make an even better move. So, like, the engineering side of my brain will take over a lot of the times. So like, some people will just, like, and I like, even a lot of the coaches I've had or something like that, they deal with, like, a lot of, like, surface stuff. And it's all great stuff. But I love, like, think a bit like a watch. You know, there's a lot of gears and stuff like that. I like to get to, like, the heart of, like, what is really – get to that, like, right after the battery, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what's the first thing that ticks? And then work from there. So I really try to, like, go in deep with that stuff. So I just – honestly, it's just – it's like that. And then truly, like, visualizing that stuff and believing it helps me. And hitting rock bottom with stuff, like not achieving a goal, being like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And then pushing through that, you need to do that too. I think so that's like a very healthy.
Getting to the point where it's like, I haven't met this goal.
Nope.
I'm a failure.
I'm
this
fucked.
Isn't going to work out. And
then
you keep going anyway.
And then just like finding the will just to kind of like keep pushing through.
Yeah.
Like just take one more step, like keep going. Mm-hmm. I honestly read a lot. I read a lot of biographies. I don't read a lot of like fiction.
Yeah.
I love reading like biographies of like people that I look up to. Or like just biographies in general.
To find out what makes them tick.
What makes them tick, yeah. And just, you know, the common thing I find in a lot of the people that I look up to is they failed pretty hard and they just kept moving.
You want to talk about your thing you're working on, or you don't want to talk
about
that?
One?
The series of interviews?
I feel so bad about it because I started doing it and then, like, a lot, you know.
Started a Tumblr blog.
I started a Tumblr blog, yeah, like the need to fail. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most interesting thing I find about success is, like, everyone has, like, a really interesting failure story in my eyes. Like, mm-hmm. there's something that, like, every successful person has, like, really eaten shit. And you don't really know about it because a lot of the things that we read about them is, like, all their fucking cars and all their clothes and their kids.
Right.
It's like, who gives a shit? Like, I want to know, like, you know, when X actor was, like, making pizzas and someone, like, threw it in his face and he wanted to fucking kill himself. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that gives me the strength to go, like, all right, there's other people that have been here. So I was making this blog called The Need to Fail. Yeah. I interviewed Chris Gethard. I wrote this whole thing. I realized, what the fuck am I doing transcribing all this? But I interviewed Abby and Alana as well, the Broad City ladies. And I never put it out, and I feel so bad, but it was like transcribing it all and putting it up. But I want to keep doing it. I realize that I can just start interviewing anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At this theater, there's so many.
Not
like,
me.
Awesome.
I don't have anything to say.
No failures.
I've never failed.
No.
No. I've made a mistake.
Sounds
like fiction to me.
Excuse me.
You just got to get some interns to transcribe.
That's right.
There you go. See?
Perfect. I know, man.
Come on.
That's why you're a professional, man. What the fuck are you doing here?
Come on.
I don't know. So, yeah, I was trying to develop that. It's still in the works, and I'd like to, like, make it a podcast soon. That's my goal. Goal for 2013 to start doing that.
So, interruption.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dreadnought.
Okay. Yes, let's talk about that team.
And we'll circle back to about Gethard, because that's a funny story of how you and Gethard met.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask you, is that something that you still do? Do you still set goals for yourself and still watch people?
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I lost that, I write them all down.
Your goals down.
Yes, I write all my goals down, and I try to visualize them coming true. And I really take the time to do that. Some people are like, oh, it's like the secret shit. It's like, no, the real awesome book is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Totally changed my life. If you want to pick up a book and read one,
okay,
it's it was like written in the 30s, but it's a guy that interviewed like the top 1,000 most successful people of the time with help from Andrew Carnegie, and they've kind of developed
Dale Carnegie probably.
What's that?
Dale Carnegie maybe?
No, Andrew Carnegie.
If it's in the 30s, it's
in the 30s. Andrew Carnegie, steel dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad.
So yeah, anyway, that book kind of changed my life. So it helps me I really try to like visualize them coming true, and then I don't worry too much when they don't. I just feel that failure and then push through kind of thing. So
okay, so Dreadnought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
Dreadnought indie team, great indie team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Sure.
What I want you to speak to, you were talking, all this stuff, like how you push through stuff and you're sort of like never say die attitude.
Yes, yes.
I think it's true. Like as a guy who taught Don, I guess before he was super passionately committed to improv.
Right.
But it's, you were, your student shows up. Mick Napier has a thing called the perfect actor. Maybe you've read this, John?
Probably.
Maybe you've read it, Don? Mm-hmm. Mick Napier, you know, improv.
Right. Annoyance.
Teacher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Annoyance founder. Big wig. Wrote an essay online in the late 90s when he was directing a Second City show called The Perfect Actor, how to be a good improv student or performer.
Right.
Best practices. One of those things was like, don't be tired. Mm-hmm. It's like, even if you are tired, don't tell people you're tired. Like, for the rehearsal, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you go home and take a nap. We don't need to hear that you're tired.
Right.
It just makes it worse. I was like, oh, Finelli never – I remember reading that. Be like, Finelli never says he's tired. Finelli I mean, I'm sure you are. Because
always.
You run.
Yeah. I usually am always tired. I've never said those words, though. So you are correct on that.
But Finelli's like, I'm doing it. I'm ready. Let's go.
I was always
– I think Dreadnought was made up of all people like that. Dreadnought was no quitters.
Right, right.
No crybabies.
Fighters. There's a lot of fighters. Yeah.
You could drop Dreadnought in the middle of the earth. They would dig out with their hands and then do a herald.
Yeah, it was very – it was fun. Yeah, because I took – after your 501, I took Zach Wood's 501, which is another stacked class. Then auditions happened, and I did a horrible audition, didn't get a call back, and I was like, well, that sucked. And then you put me in a Sketch 301 class show.
I did an actor. For this Sketch 301 show, and I called Finelli.
Right. And it was kind of like a nice – I appreciated it at the time.
Yeah, this is so
you
could get to know people. I knew you'd be good, but it was also like trying to keep you around.
Yeah, it was just this post – you know, audition thing where I was like, you know, I wasn't like, I'm screwed, I'm done. It was just like, bummer kind of thing. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I wish I showed up, you know? And I appreciated Will like kind of being like, well, fuck that, like do this.
Yeah.
And I did like one read through, and then Gethard hadn't taught in like a year,
yeah,
or over a year, and yeah, was teaching like a twice a week, 4 week class.
Yeah, he was coming back and doing after, yeah, exactly.
It's like a 504, I think.
Yep, long break where he could just do whatever he wanted, no, yep, shows.
No shows.
No, didn't have to deal with people getting on Harold and I, just like, no, the fun part of teaching.
Right. Yeah, and I remember like sending you an email, be like, "Hey, I just saw this like email, and I really appreciate you." And you just immediately wrote back, like, "I'm taking you out of this, get into Gethard's class."
Yeah,
it was just this very short. I was like, "Oh shit, okay."
Yeah, hmm.
And I signed up very quickly, and yeah, that's, I didn't know what, I kind of knew of some people, but I really didn't know anyone in that class. Like, that's the first time I ever saw Noah. That's the first time I ever saw Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse Lee. First time I ever saw Catherine Mudon. Mm-hmm. I've seen Dom Manzolillo because it's really hard not to see his beautiful blue eyes in the improv scene. So yeah, I remember seeing Dom and knowing there. He's like, oh, there's a fellow Paisan, Italian dude, like funny, yeah, dude.
Right. Yeah.
And then I've never seen Michael Caine before.
Not the famous English actor Michael Caine, but English the actor, UCB right, performer Michael Caine.
That's right.
The
fantastic UCB improviser,
yeah, so, yeah,
Michael Caine.
Yeah, so there was... that class like totally changed me. Like, now, like, the Will Hines classes like broke me out of my shell and like made me like, kind of start really loving improv.
Yeah.
Like getting out of my head and like, okay, tapping into like, I guess what made me funny. Like, Will really started doing that. Mm-hmm. And
like
made me
laughed at everything Don said as well.
Probably. I think, okay, that's what happened. That, and that made me feel good. Yeah, yeah, it could, sure, be as dumb as that. Like, someone laughed at me and I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, yes,
sure, because like if your teacher is laughing at, right, you, then it's, yeah, like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I'm doing this right,
yeah,
you know, or this is where it sort of lives,
yeah,
you know, and if it's, yeah, like you're,
it was,
doing,
it was so helpful
if you do what you think is funny and it, yeah, gets a laugh from the room and from the teacher,
right?
But this Gethard class was something special. I think
it was
Keith Bethea, or was he in the,
no,
next one?
He was in the next one
with Dan,
yeah,
Klein.
There was, it was still like an unbelievable class. Like, Diana Kolsky was in that. Nate Russell was in that.
Oh, wow.
And a slew of other awesome people,
yeah, mm-hmm,
were in that class. And after the first or second class, I remember Facebook messaging Jesse Lee and Noah and not even knowing them. I was like, hey, man, we're going to do a three-man team, Harold team. I forgot what the hell the name was, but it was so stupid. And they're like, who the fuck are
was
you?
Was it
like,
Vital Element?
No, it was not Vital Element. It was the Water Trees. But yeah, I was like, Gethard kind of, like, if you were, I guess, I never really had too many mentors in life. I guess Will started kind of becoming one, I guess, after those first two classes of,
yeah,
just like someone that
laid
at least
back
that,
way.
Yeah,
yeah,
laid back way that like looked out for me, I guess, a little bit, mm-hmm, or just, yeah, like on his radar.
Yeah.
Gethard became like the
active, yeah,
active kind of,
okay,
holy shit, man. We don't look alike. We don't seem like we should get along, but like,
I think after the first class he taught you, or the second one, Gethard sent an email to, mm-hmm, me and your other former teachers, Zach,
yeah,
and maybe Sanders, and was like, how come you assholes didn't, right, tell me there was some crazy,
right,
meathead from New Jersey who loved improv? I,
right,
should be alerted to this at all times.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like scolding us.
Because, right, I remember him.
Alerting,
yeah,
him to the presence of Doug.
Yeah. 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 Right. Of course, Gethard.
Yeah. Right. So sorry. I,
yeah,
should have,
yeah,
been my first thought.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess I was too busy doing teaching a class like a normal person.
And I know, right, my first impression when I walked in, he's like, yeah, man, I saw you in your fucking Pink Floyd t-shirt. He's like this meathead, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that class changed me because we did all sorts of things I've never done before. It was all these Gethard things, that, mm-hmm, just all these exercises and like scream, you know, just doing all sorts of awesome stuff together, yeah, that you feel like you're a brethren. And I remember Mike Caine was like, emailed Dreadnought of what became Dreadnought. I was like, I really like you guys. Let's keep doing it. Let's just like do shows and like do crazy shit, and maybe Gethard will coach us. And that's how it formed. And that, like, that group totally changed the way I played and like really got the ball rolling, because we did some crazy shows. One being in a sushi restaurant that is still controversial on the, yeah, IRC.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's like six pages of like, because there was like backlash about it. It was like, this wasn't a real show. Benjamin Apple like recorded a 25-minute segment about 40 minutes into the show.
Uh-huh.
It was just me going over and over again, going, excuse me, excuse me. Because there was real patrons like eating there and being like, what the fuck
the
is it?
The owner booked you guys to
the
do a
owner
show
booked us to
and
do
a
a show.
To the people in the restaurant.
Yeah.
We're not ready for
a show
to be happening.
They weren't told at all that
no, weren't told
show
at
was
all.
Happening.
No,
they sit in a sushi restaurant and Dreadnought.
Dreadnought, we just walked in. I just started by like clapping and like we didn't even know what we were doing.
Wow.
We tried to do an improv show for about 2 minutes before we were getting heckled. And this lasted for like over an hour of this shit. I remember like going outside, bringing a girl outside, like taking a walk with her in the middle of the fucking show, coming back. We had like two chicks start making out. Like it was like very, like it started off
like a
utter
happening.
Hatred. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was like an utter hatred.
The 60s happened.
Anybody that was there.
Not M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening.
No.
That's right.
No, no, no. It wasn't even close to that. Yeah. But yeah, but there's like this like audio clip and people were like, you shouldn't start off a show like that. That's bullshit. And Gethard immediately like emailed all of us like, don't say a word. I got this. And like, you know, like started like emailing.
What, on the IRC? So who's saying that? Like people who haven't improvised in 2 years?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. No, it was like fellow improvisers and stuff like that. But you just have to like go back. I don't want to call anybody out. But it was it was pretty funny at the time. And we were all pretty heated about it. But it was like, you know, we made a statement and... You know, one of those things. But that's what we would do. You know what I mean? Like, we would do crazy shit like that. We did, like, a year after that, we did, like, we started in a Best Buy and started going around Union Square together.
Oh, yeah.
Ended in a show that we actually had booked at Under St. Mark's, but we kept this, like, show going through the streets.
Wow.
Of just, like, maybe we're improvising, maybe we're not. We started this thing called, we started, like, chanting group hug in the middle of Union Square and, like, got this huge random group hug happening. It was all fucked up, weird, stupid stuff that
was
just,
pretty fun.
Pushing the limit. And
you guys wore suits a lot, right?
No.
Just for that shoot, the photo shoot?
Yeah, just for the photo
shoot.
Hang on,
here's what you wore suits for your photo.
Yeah.
But then when you did Benjamin and Veronica's show, this is the most obscure and unnecessary part of your...
Yeah.
So Benjamin and Veronica had their show where they would do a two-prov and host different groups every week,
mm-hmm.
and they would do little video promos for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dreadnought was the guest.
Yes.
And they would say these very lo-fi things that would just be like Benjamin and Veronica like talking.
Right.
Some, you know, oh, we got a guest.
Yeah.
And then they, for Dreadnought, the camera pans over and it's all of you guys in the apartment in your suits.
Yes.
In
formation. That's right. That's right. I forgot. We shot that video.
Now, was that the day you shot your photo or did you get your suits on to go do that promo video?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. I feel like...
when I saw that, I was like, I guess Dreadnought
I think it's a different
walks
day.
Around in those suits
all
the time.
Yeah, it was a different day.
I'm
going
to remember it.
Yeah,
but what I'm remembering is true.
Yeah, anyway, Dreadnought was together for a couple months. And we had Gethard coaching us in like the Triple Crown basement for like 9 months. Like we had Gethard just coaching us every week.
And he'd burnt out and basically had a nervous breakdown about teaching improv, whatever, like a year and a half before that. So for him to... give a shit about coaching anybody. It was sort of
it was crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
And it was
like
just a family. It was just a family.
Get back into it.
That's all it was because, you know, there was members with some family issues during the time and it just brought us even closer together. And some people had to be absent for a little while because of various things. And sometimes there'd be two or three of us there, but we'd like keep it going. It was like one of those like keep the flame alive things.
Sure.
So that like kind of changed it. And at that time, I got into like my first 600, got into my second 600. I did Cops and Robbers. And then the movie kind of really... helped me as an improviser. It really opened my eyes for like the support and like the memory stuff. So as Gethard started doing like the thematic, my thematic mind opened up within Gethard's class. It really got solidified in the movie because I learned how to like play a game and then like step back and like just support the show.
Okay.
Before that, I don't know how often I supported the show rather than just doing walk-ons to help scenes. Mm-hmm. The movie, I was like, I'm going to support this show. Sometimes, and John Timothy was in it too, and other awesome people were in that class. But I remember me and J. Tim would like do a lot of thematic
big last third of the show.
Yeah, big like third beat tie up moves and stuff like that. That really just helped me, or just like supporting, like not being involved in a fucking scene, but maybe doing some music that wouldn't steal focus.
Mm-hmm.
Like learning how to not steal focus in scenes, but like add. Little bit of paint here, a little bit of paint there.
So doing the movie and those techniques in the movie form expanded your ideas of like
Absolutely.
How to support scenes.
Yeah. It's
and
a great, great form to mm-hmm. do if you're like, I feel like I'm funny, but maybe I'm like always standing out or like I'm just like the funny one and I'm not like the team player.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you have to be a fucking team player.
Yeah.
You just have to be
yeah, you do.
In the movie because it's just, you don't have to be, but if you're looking to help like work on that, that's a great form.
It's a good form for support. And if you're not, if you don't get into that part of it, then you will not stand out, or you'll get lost in the shuffle of the movie.
I see we're 40 minutes into this and we're at Dreadnought. I know. This is crazy.
Right.
But I got, you know.
So you've been on
a lot of Harold teams. Yeah. And my second mod team. Yeah.
Right.
Shout out to Gramps.
You were on Gramps.
Shout out to Gramps. Yeah, we got Gramps. That was great. I love it.
I've lost track of the running gags of this podcast. It's Gramps that you mention every episode?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's been mentioned.
Do I have something
bunch.
I'm doing every episode yet? I'm going to work on it. If anybody can listen to all the episodes and tell me something I do besides call attention to myself unnecessarily. Don't laugh at that, Ian. Podcast interns laughed at that.
I remember like getting jazzed for that next round of like auditions and being like, I think I'm good, and if I don't get it, that's okay. You know, like one of those things. I was like, I feel like pretty good. I was sitting in with a lot of different groups and just playing with as many different people as possible. So,
a thing that you feel like you've either excelled at or developed, like a skill that you bring to Harold Knight, or something that you like? Do you see yourself as being one particular kind of element in your Harold teams, or has that shifted?
It's shifted. Definitely shifted.
What do you think you are most drawn to or like the most, or has that evolved over time?
I think, I don't know. I think it's like a utility guy. I think I'm like a utility guy. Like I feel like I love doing it all. You know what I mean? So I think I might bring that to teams.
Sure.
So like,
what did you? You talked about being in bands. What did you do in bands that you were
in? I was like a lead singer, like a backup singer, and guitarist, keyboardist. Like, I like doing it all. Honestly, maybe it's like hindered me a little as like on the acting side because like I'm like more of a jack of all trades kind of thing. But I don't really give a fuck about that. Like, you know what I mean? I really like if someone gifts me with something, I'm like, I love you, and I'm gonna accept that gift like harder than anybody's accepted that gift. Likewise, I love dishing out gifts just to see what people do with them. You know what I mean? I want to see my friend play a fucking bat. You know what I mean? And start flying around the room and like running into shit. Yeah, I don't know. Tying up shows. I like thematic stuff. Here's what developed.
Okay.
Premise-based improv.
Sure.
I was always an organic guy, and I grew to really love and really be like, fuck premise, you heady motherfuckers. You know, right? And really like be like, ah, man, it's just like hard. And it's probably because I sucked at it. You know, like it wasn't natural for me, so I like dissed it.
Right.
But I really grew to love it and show how simple it is to be like, hey, let's. And that's when I coach Harold teams or Lloyd teams or something like that. It's like, let's pitch simple ideas, right? Yeah. Or anybody, like just pitch simple ideas to each other at the top of your show and then do them. Like follow through and have as much fun playing out that pitch. You know what I mean? And I grew to really love that. Like do a good, I'd never really loved standing around and pitching ideas. I love the kinesiology of improv. I love like moving, remembering.
Good word.
Thank you. It means moving shit. So like I love like the movement. So I'll remember stuff like by moving. I'll remember something like the position I was in. I'll be like my brain goes really quickly to go like, oh, that was just like this. This position I was in like 10 minutes ago. So I like that. So I never loved standing around pitching ideas. I could never remember. But that's why I was like, well, I'm bad at it. What would make it easy is like if we just didn't riff too much and just like said some words, pitched it to each other and like got a premise and like nailed it down and moved on. So we have like 5-6 premises that were like, good, we got these. This is what our show is going to be about.
I like that too, what you mentioned about like the positioning of like a body during or bodies during improv shows or improv sets. I will often remember like, oh, when we did this scene, I was like standing on this part of the stage or I was standing in this position. So like when I go to make a callback, I will go right to that part, right to that position.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm posing for
You're posing for a picture.
I'm big on that too. It's like positioning yourself on stage in a particular place in a particular way will help you remember.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why I'm also a big fan of like if your first scene takes place center stage, have your second scene take place stage right.
Stuff like
stage
that.
Left,
oh, yeah, that always helps.
Kind of like populating the
Absolutely.
Stage.
Absolutely. And it was just like one of those things where I was like, I'm not really a writer. I like writing on my feet. I'm more of a gut player. So I didn't like standing around pitching ideas. And then I found it hard to remember those. So I just tried to make it as simple as possible. Then I just really kind of loved being like, oh, here's some simple ideas. We can do a fucking whole show off of these.
Sure.
So I learned to like, I guess that's what I, over the year, over the, like the 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. You've developed from sort of like a lead singer, guitarist guy to a utility player like a bassist or
like whatever you need, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. I would say he's gone from being a vamping blues player to a songwriter.
Right. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. To a simple songwriter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Simple songwriter.
Maybe
that's a
from
good one.
Like a John Lee Hooker to forget it. I'm blanking on the name. One of the members of Yes.
Well, okay. Uh-huh. I've got a more alienating one. I think he's gone from being John Paul Jones to Robert Pollard.
Pollard?
Yeah, like Guided by Voices. Just like... Well, my intention with that example is like a bunch of simple melodies.
Right.
Short, simple melodies.
I see. Okay. I see what you mean. Yeah.
How about...
Because I was thinking John Paul Jones is like a multi-instrumentalist. You know?
I was just thinking he's a great bass player.
Oh, dude, man. He wrote so many of Zeppelin songs. He was like...
Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about. Family Circus.
Family Circus. Family Circus, that shit.
You've gone from like a family circus to...
a flying circus.
If we could do comic strips, I might be able to do this.
You've gone from a Tank McNamara to...
Yeah, I don't know. Utility guy. We'll end it on that. Yeah. You know? I don't know.
You're talking about your strategy of playing. I feel like for a long time, Finelli, I would see you be one of these guys like, I'm going to play it real. I'm going to say what I would really say.
Mm-hmm.
If I get disoriented.
Loved
if
Ian
I
Roberts'
know.
Approach. You
yeah,
know
you,
what I mean?
Remind, you play like Ian. I think it's appropriate that your dad was his dentist.
Like, Steve Howe was the Yes member that I was thinking. Nice. The guitarist.
Not Wakeman. Right.
Or maybe a little bit of a Rick Wakeman, but more of like Anderson. Ian Anderson. Oh, no.
Who were the four of them? They did Brother of Mine. All but... Chris Squire. Okay, yeah.
We're losing people. We're losing people by the second here.
At this point, everybody's gone.
Yeah, everyone's
gone.
From 1,200
listeners to 2 listeners. Yeah. And one of them is Steve Howe.
Yeah.
And
the other is
one.
My girlfriend.
I knew it. you played like real. I feel like I'd see you in Harold's if I felt like, oh, things are getting a little weird. You would just be like, no, I'm not doing that. Nope, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna drown myself in your pool. I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I don't know if that's true anymore, but that would be sort of, you know, if things go wrong in a show. You can see sort of what people fall back on,
right?
Like their last line of how do I handle stuff.
Yeah,
and I feel like
yeah.
yours was, well, I'm just gonna say what I would say.
Yeah, what mm-hmm. I would actually say, and it always goes back to that. I always like go back to like, well, you know, as like when you're trying to get better as an improviser, you always go like, well, what do you? You have to like remember like where are you getting laughs at? Like what happens? Like what are those organic moments that like you. Just do something and you get the response from the audience. It always felt back to like me just being myself and like answering like from my point of view.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'd like encourage that more. But at the same time, I've definitely love, and I think it was from the Gethard class too, like just love throwing fuel on the fire too. And
yeah.
Like if you guys are going down, I'm jumping in with you. No doubt. I'll be there with you. So like, I'll be saying
in terms
no,
of
like,
let's be a little more specific.
Okay,
like, a show's gotten weird. I think, and maybe someone starts a strange physicality.
Okay, yeah,
or maybe like,
oh, say it's getting like really blue or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start really making it blue. You know what I mean?
Instead
like
of
if
being
it's
like
this is kind of hovering at this point, and people are starting
like
to get
uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm gonna make it really uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
And not just to be like, look at me. It's just because like,
make
listen, if we go back, we're gonna look like fucking idiots. So let's go forward and like let's die together tonight.
Right.
And then like we'll. You know, wash off the wounds after mm-hmm. and get some shitty notes and be like, yep, you're right. We were fucking
but
too
we were,
like this.
But we, were
but we never bailed. Mm-hmm. We never bailed. Like, I hate when people bail on ideas or introduce something really cool and go like, nah, that's not going to work.
Polar, Amy did like a teacher meeting 2 years ago where she got all the teachers in the room and mm-hmm. gave advice. She watched like 3 or 4 classes and then sort of gave her take on it. And she didn't say a ton of...
Right.
Rules, but the two she said were teach them to live life on stage and make them commit. Like,
I love it.
No bailing
God
ever.
Damn.
They're not allowed to.
She's the best.
They're not allowed to. They can be bad. They can be not funny. They can be even. They can be bad at game.
Ideas out there. Commit.
But the first two things is right from level one. Like live life on stage, and you're not allowed to bail.
Yep.
You can't look at the audience and say you can't think of anything.
Love it.
You're not allowed to kind of shrug it off.
Yeah. And you find like you know. There's and then you know sometimes it does take over. You're like yeah, watch me, you know, like that happens to everyone. We all have egos and that like takes over, but hopefully most of the time it's just like utter support of teammates, never making anyone look stupid or making their move look like it was a bad move. I really love when someone makes a mistake and then jumping on that mistake and making it look like gold. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's probably my favorite part of improv. Mm-hmm. When like something stupid happens. So it happened all the time with me. I would say like a lot of dumb stuff, like what just happened earlier. That would happen a lot in earlier improv.
Okay.
All right. Maybe not so much now, but it still happens in rehearsals.
Right.
But like, you know, someone would be next to me and like laughing at it, but like adding to it. And I was just like, that's amazing. Like, I fucked up and you made me look good.
Yeah.
Like, so that's all I want to do to people. I want to make them look good. And when I don't, I feel like an asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so we go from, so that level of support and jumping in and committing to something leads us to you getting your asshole waxed on stage.
That's right.
With the Chris Gethard show.
We haven't even talked about the Chris Gethard show.
Well, this is my way of segueing into it.
It's that was, you know, and I wasn't even on Harold Knight yet when I started that show. That was pre Harold Knight, but like Chris started this like kind of talk show on stage, and Will was a part of it.
Yeah.
And Shannon.
That's right.
Zach was there first, and Neil.
Zach was the first. Zach and Neil were the first.
Yeah, and sure, it started. He was just like, "Do you want to go out on a date with a guy? Would you do that? Would you let us film it?" I was like, "Fuck yeah!" And then basically, ever since then, like anything Gethard asked me, at that point, I'd always just say yes, and I would just be like, kind of like the lackey, not lackey, but like, you know, I would just basically like do a lot of crazy shit for the show.
Yeah,
we put his ass on. Me and Will teamed up at one time when I had like a fever.
You were super sick.
Super sick, but we like.
I did pranks in the show where I went to Chris's apartment and filmed me putting my ass in all of his possessions.
Right.
He took
that
my then girlfriend out on a date as revenge, and
I
took his best friend Don Finelli.
Right.
His character. I mean, you guys were good friends, but the character of you is
his like
best
boyfriend.
Friend.
We were, like, people thought we were like boyfriends.
Right.
Right.
So I took Finelli away from him by taking him to his apartment, and me and Finelli put asses on Chris's.
And then I wrote a song. Hanging out with your
we
best
got super
friend.
Involved with that prank. But Finelli was really sick, but still we went to Chris's apartment.
Yeah.
Why were you so willing to do what Chris asked you to do?
That's a good question. I think I enjoyed pushing myself. It goes back to like I think honestly by nature I'm a kind of a nervous person. I don't like show it ever, but like I'm a little claustrophobic. I have a high anxiety, and I just naturally try to keep pushing through that. So anything that gets me out of my comfort zone, I like, and I don't like it right
as
before
a sort of
it.
Character building experience.
Honestly, like it's a weird like mental thing where it's like I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm probably gonna do it.
So you have this nervousness, but also this drive to like
explore
that.
Yes,
nervousness
absolutely.
And
like
push
I am nervous
that.
Before most things. Mm-hmm. I'm very very nervous before most things. I'm rarely calm, cool, collected. The more I've performed, the more I've calmed down. But like in general life stuff, I get very very nervous, and I can't like control that. So I just like switch my mentality to go like, well, this is going to be fucking crazy. And it kind of gets my adrenaline going. And it's like, this is going to be weird. I don't want to do this. So let's do it. And it's just, that's it. And I just do it. You
so
know
you
I mean?
Find this guy who you developed kind of a trust with from coaching and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And,
just so we became friends. I developed this trust, and he was like, and I really loved that show because it was this intimate experience. It was monthly. I was on Saturday night at midnight, and we'd have a theme to the show.
Yeah.
And we'd go balls out with it, and it was just so fucking fun. I got hurt most shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got like choked out. I got my asshole waxed for charity.
Right.
They raised like $800 to like on stage wax my chest, asshole, back.
And you had to sing I'll Sail Away?
Don't Stop Believing.
My bad.
Right? No, it's okay. Two great songs.
yeah. Both great.
Two great songs, two great bands. But she didn't use strips. She used like hard wax, and it was like the most painful experience. That was like the one time I was like, I don't want to do this ever again. Like,
yeah.
I hate the Gethard show. But we raised like $1,000 for the March of Dimes. I think Johnny McNulty paid $200 to stop waxing me. And then someone matched it to keep waxing me. It was like a $600 to wax my whole body.
Wow.
And then like Johnny McNulty's like, I can't watch this anymore, because I was like, tears were coming down. It was hurting so.
Yeah,
this is too bad.
Too
I love McNulty. He's the best. So fucking funny.
Yeah, he's great.
And someone matched his offer. Gethard's like, if someone matches this, we'll keep going.
You know,
I was like, as he's showing his dick to two random girls in the back. It was so nuts.
Yeah, because he was naked.
People were eating shit. Yeah.
Because if somebody paid a certain amount of money, he would be naked,
right? We raised a good amount of money for the March of Dimes. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And there was like the paintball challenge, going out on dates with girls. We did like put our ass on a bunch of stuff. We did the cross country tour, which was like, where Will and I were in like 4 a.m. We're in the middle of fucking New Mexico talking about the Beatles
and
like
Pink Floyd
and Gin Blossoms.
Benjamin Blossoms.
Yeah, that's, we knew that I was think, I get, if anything, that's yeah. your running gag on this podcast, is talking about the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah. Dude, I can spend a whole universal experience. I'm ready to talk about it right
Jesus
now.
Christ.
So let me ask you this then. Yeah. You're this young guy. You're not even on a Harold team yet.
I'm not
you're
even on a Harold team.
With the Gethard show, yep. which is like a bunch of heavy hitter, veteran, hilarious
people.
Yeah,
it was just
people.
That like, no one's doing this shit. Right. I love it. You know?
So
like,
did that give you any sense of like, wow, I've really arrived at this? Like, did you feel special in any kind
no.
of way?
Yeah, I felt like I didn't know what the fuck was going on. But there's been patterns in my life where like older kind of like whatever thing I've been in, safe baseball, like the older guys like brought me up to hang out with them for some reason, you know, like mm-hmm, there's been sure. like patterns of that in my life
for
where,
some
like,
reason that
like
you
the
would
older
get attracted
generation
to those.
Would like would get attracted to me in some fucking weird thing would yeah. happen uh-huh. and I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but thank you very much, like uh-huh. like I'll just like do yeah. my thing. And I'd never really totally got in my head with it. And I think the way I did that was just by like doing what everyone said.
I have yeah. the opposite thing. The yeah. older generation is like, get out of here. And the younger generation too. They're both like, we want nothing to do with you.
How's your generation going?
My generation, they're just ambivalent yeah. towards me. Yeah.
So yeah, it was that's true. So I was in my, yeah, maybe I was in my head a little bit, but nothing like the, you know, it's like Will and Shannon and Gethard, like they're great people. Like, and,
sure.
and it was, and I got close with Zach too. Zach Woods really helped me, like talking to him even after his class. We never really like, I maybe connected in his class, but post class we definitely connected, and he was somebody I unbelievably looked up to and had such good advice. And we just have like little, you know, having a little talk with Zach, having a 5-minute conversation with Zach Woods could change your life.
It could, yeah.
He's, sure, he's like articulate. Magic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's unbelievably articulate.
He's intuitive and articulate.
Never talks down to you. He's so fucking smart, and you know he's so smart, but he never talks down to you. Yeah. There's a yeah. lot of people like that here.
I feel like a smart person, but when I talk to Zach, I feel like, oh, maybe I'm an idiot.
It's
like,
unbelievable like, how he's just a great guy. Yeah, I know he's helped a lot of other people, and he just like, you know, he's just a good dude. So
great. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I don't know.
So what else?
I don't know.
There's a lot we could go.
There's so many different. There's so many.
Yeah,
different
I'd probably
things.
Have to leave in a couple of minutes, but I want to continue talking to you.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to do a little improv talk here.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I love that.
So I want to do so. Like, I'm curious about your strategy.
Okay. Here.
I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation. I want you to tell me what you would do.
Sure.
The best. I mean, obviously, we can't simulate it exactly. But
yeah, yeah.
So let's say you're doing. I don't know. I'm trying to think what. Okay, I'm just try to capture what your process is here.
Okay,
you're on the back line, all right?
Yeah.
So there's a suggestion.
Uh huh.
Somebody steps out.
Yeah.
And the room. Let's say this is like, not like Harold Knight. Let's say it's like basement of Triple Crown. There's not that many people there. It's kind of like a low energy night.
Yeah.
Show's going a little long.
Okay.
Things aren't great.
Okay.
Show's not going great for whatever reason.
You just saying that, my blood's starting to boil.
Okay.
A little bit. Yeah.
So you get like four, and you're doing an indie show with like four people. You get up there, you get a suggestion. Somebody steps out and they pull up two chairs and they mm-hmm. sit down mm-hmm. and they get like a pretty vague initiation. Let's say uh-huh. the suggestion's like marshmallow and they mm-hmm. go like, well, the numbers look a little soft.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Immediate reaction to his what he said. So I'll just react to be like, yeah, with a character, with something, with a point of view. I try to instantaneously click into some point of view. I won't think about it. I'll just yeah. like pick, like you just saying that. I just yes. went, yeah. You know, okay. like, I don't know.
What
like,
does that mean?
I don't
like,
know.
Where are you at when you're doing that?
When I do that.
Like how much have you decided? Like,
nothing.
Yeah, mentally, where are you at?
Yeah, but you, like, what is once you make
physical.
That sound,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
what is that going to lead to?
Oh, okay.
What
I
is that going to become?
Probably.
All could change depending on what else is done. But
sure. Like, where
does
that
feel like it's going?
Personally?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Personally, I guess when I make that choice, like it's hard for me to articulate some of that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, I understand.
I think like making instantaneous choices and like I can't put why I do it.
Just do you go. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sympathetic to this guy. You're
yeah.
on board that the numbers are soft. You
and
feel
you
kind of bad about it.
Choice.
Right.
You sound
yeah.
like kind of a gruff dude, maybe
yeah.
like
yeah.
a rough and tumble dude.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So maybe I felt like when I did that, I was interested and creepy into. I was like creepy and into what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like that's the choice. Like
you're interested and engaged in this.
Yeah, right. But like in an over. Like in a creepy way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I just made that choice. I don't really care either in the sense of like instantaneous. I won't go like, why'd I do that? Because mm-hmm. I can do that with every choice I make.
Right.
Yeah,
every choice you make, point, you can go, why the fuck did I do that?
Yeah.
You know, but I'll just like make a choice and maybe it's not a creepy character. Maybe it's not even a character, but I'll try to have a point of view and a stronger point of view for what they gave me.
What if my next line mm-hmm. gives you something that kind of changes you.
Mm-hmm.
So I say marshmallow numbers a little. The marshmallows are the suggestion.
Yeah,
numbers are a little soft.
Yeah,
you give me that kind of character energy answer.
I know, man. Yeah,
and then I, for whatever reasons. Also, I don't know what choices I'm making.
I probably would add more lines to that, too. I'd probably be like, yeah, I know, man, but like, we just got to keep pushing through, you know, or something like that.
To let me know that you're on board.
Bored
you're,
with it, yeah.
Okay, you're
I heard what you said. I'm with you.
Your character and I are together on this.
Yeah, and that, but at
so
the
then
same,
what if I drop this on you?
Yeah.
I go, well, I think part of the – I think we had a big mistake
mm-hmm.
when you hit me in the face 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, it was that, my fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
I, yeah, that would probably would be – I would just say yes to it immediately.
Yeah.
Would not change my character. I see a lot of people go like, oh, fuck. And then they drop their initial energy, I would say. Or you could call it anything. Point of view, deal, character, game, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's the same shit in my eyes.
Yeah.
But like I would just say yes to everything that you're doing.
Well, I think, but you don't change the music of your character.
Never change the music of my character.
Yeah.
No, because then it looks like I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And you're wrong.
Right.
Never, we're never going
to
be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Let me, just for experiment's sake, let me try to think of something that would almost require you to change.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I don't know if this is quite what you were thinking of, but
you're not going
to
be able to.
I say, like, like, numbers are looking a little soft this month.
Yeah, I know, man. We just got to keep pushing through.
Well, honey, you know, this husband and wife thing, you know, you as my wife, I don't know if it's working out.
It is. It is, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You're not going to fucking throw me. I'm just going to keep saying yes to it.
Right.
Like, you make me a fucking bird. I'm in, I'm sure. Like, I won't say no to it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to start from the beginning every time, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Start from the beginning of the scene every time.
I'm going to do that, yes.
Good. I need some, some build up here.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Good.
Oh, boy, number's a little soft this quarter.
Yeah. We just got to keep pushing through it. It's okay.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
You're the year 1973.
Yeah.
You've come to me to help me.
Yeah.
Guide me through this.
I know. It's
you've always helped me before.
Yeah, I know. But in the 70s, it's a little more laid back.
Okay.
You know,
the numbers
saying?
Are a little soft.
I know. But you got to put up your feet, grow some sideburns.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
You're not
going to
throw me,
man. I can't do it.
I just
can't.
But I think that speaks to, like, that's what we try to push people to do is make that choice and stick to it.
Yeah,
you know?
don't waver from the choice.
So many people get the, like they'll hear.
Is this bad that I'm, should we not do this?
I think
we start doing this all the time.
Yeah,
I think this is great.
Right.
This reminds me, like after we wrapped last week's podcast, Sypho was talking to us about how we had mentioned about the pattern game that it's like kind of hard to initiate.
We did a thing with Achilles where we were making Achilles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
initiations because he's so good.
And we
at
were
them.
Saying like, "Oh, it's kind of hard," but then we were doing it, and Sypho pointed out it's like, "Well, we said it was hard, but then we like instantly did it. So is it easy or is it hard?"
Great,
right?
No, they weren't necessarily great, but
pattern game
for us. To us, they weren't great. To us, they weren't like you know.
I tried to start doing something.
The point that I wanted to make is that like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
I'm
it's
sorry,
okay. The point that I wanted to make was that like. Over time, the more you practice it, the easier it gets.
Yes.
Yeah, it just happens faster.
It does.
And honestly, to me, when we did those last week, I was thinking like, oh, it took me too long to get this initiated.
You felt slow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. But
what were you going to say about pattern game? Do you have a new approach for it?
I did. I started doing it with like a 301 group, and then I did it at a workshop on a Torco that I was doing with a group. And I started seeing like quicker results for shit. And I don't know why I started doing it. I just kind of like engineered brain bullshitted it. And then I started doing it with Huxtable, and I saw like a real change when I was coaching Huxtable. And it's basically, I just started making
Huxtable the Lloyd team.
Team, yeah. Super fucking funny people.
Yeah, Todd Bieber's on that team.
So
UCB
funny.
Comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So great. And I don't know. I developed this like exercise, and it seemed to work. Where I was like, "All right, we're gonna do a pattern game. We're not gonna come back to the suggestion,
right?
And we're gonna do this pattern six times. What we're gonna do is say a word, A to C that word, A to C that word. So you have three words, and from those three words, you're gonna create a premise. From those three words, you don't have to use all the words, but from those three words, you're gonna create a premise.
Hmm.
And then the next thing you
I'll
do
give you
at
three,
right? Go ahead.
Ready?
Yeah.
Toaster.
Yeah.
Bed and breakfast.
Uh huh.
Honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
I didn't A to C enough.
It's okay.
Toaster, bed and breakfast, savings bonds.
Toaster, bed and breakfast, savings bonds?
Toaster,
uh-huh.
Bed
What's
and breakfast.
B?
Okay.
Bed and breakfast, the saving bonds. What's your B?
Newlyweds.
Okay.
Okay.
toaster bed and breakfast
savings bonds. Yeah.
If you open up an account, you'll get a free appliance with it.
Okay.
Something like that.
It's like a premise start.
Yeah, like just like any.
Not too gamey.
Not too gamey, but like just like a premise, like an idea. And sometimes they're strong, sometimes they're not. But the thing that you do after that is one of three things. You either justify why.
Okay.
You either give an example of it. Sometimes it's like the premise is like religious DJs, you know, and someone's like, DJ Jesus, you know, like someone like lists an example. So you can justify it, give an example of it. Or give the first line of it, which happens a lot in pattern games.
Yeah, right, right. Sample dialogue.
Yeah. So it would just be like...
Oh, you're saying in the pattern game, you would say, new appliance when you open a savings account.
Yeah, that would be the premise.
I got it.
So, okay. I'm sorry. So
that's not an initiation. That's in the pattern game.
That's the pattern game.
I see.
1, 2, 3, premise. One of those three things to nail it down, A to C out of that.
Okay.
And you never come back to the suggestion. And what happens is you create like, and we do it five times, create five very clear premises that you can then just start in the middle of them.
I think it's so interesting just when you're teaching or coaching or just doing improv a lot, how you go through phases of falling in love with certain mantras or formulas. Because I guarantee you in a year, not that you'll dislike that.
Oh, it'd probably be like fucking...
But you'll have moved on to something else that's equivalent.
But right now, this is like tickling me that I'm like, I see so many pattern games. It's taught so many different ways. Let's make it really simple. Let's pitch ideas that are like very clear and then like start in the middle
of
it.
Let me just say, though, as a guy who hires teachers, everybody thinks they have the simple and clear way to teach the pattern
game.
I mean, they all are... People do arrive at good ways to do it, but they're all different.
Yeah.
There is no one answer.
Nope.
There never will be.
No.
I'm cynical about it. I need a non-denominational.
Way to shit on me, Will.
Sorry, I meant it's a great...
Wow, smells like shit in here. Will, shit all over my fucking face. Hey, everyone, that doesn't work, okay?
I'm sorry, you're right, I should do that. As John Cleese said, let's get the Paschetti.
Oh, yeah, family circus.
Yes, that's a callback.
That's it, right? We're done? Jeez.
Yes, we've come full family circle.
Oh, God, John.
Fuck you, John.
Fuck you, John Frusciante.
People love this.
Shante, that pun.
Love. John, fuck you, Shante.
I get a lot of...
John Pun, fuck you.
Fucking fuck Pun. Fuck it.
Fuck Frusciante.
Fuck this shit. Shit.
Fuck for Shante.
Fucking fuck shit.
You guys,
Sean. Fuck shit. Shante.
You guys sound like
shit. Yeah. Family circus.
You guys sound like the last minute of a 90s industrial song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm out of gas.
I have to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it up, man.
You guys can keep talking. Unfortunately, I have to go to an audition that
I am. Get it.
Definitely
get it.
Going to book.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
We'll do it. Book
people
it.
Will definitely book remember it. Me.
The podcast will power you.
We'll do
That's
it,
right.
man.
We only have a little bit to go anyway, so we're just going to...
I feel like
I'll
barely
the code
scratched
without
the surface.
I know,
you,
man.
Don.
But it was fun.
But yeah, I have to go.
Okay. Good stuff, John.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, John.
Bye, John. John, fuck Shanti.
Fucking Shanti with his fucking puns.
Fucking
you
puns.
You
tried to take my pen.
No.
I saw that.
I did.
You blatantly tried to take the pen that
I
is
did.
Mine. I earned this pen.
You're right.
For Shanti.
I'm sorry. Fucking get that pen from John. Fucking for Shanti.
You give a fucking pun with that, buddy.
Fucking...
Where's your fucking pen pun?
Where's your pun, yeah.
Where's your pen pun, John?
More like an ink sit, not an exit.
He's not here. He has no way to defend himself.
No way. It's unfair. What we're doing is unfair. We're not going to have time to get into the rest of your career.
I don't know.
But what is it? It's basically like you're on a million teams.
Yeah, a lot of teams.
Not basically, but like...
A lot of teams, two mod teams. And I've done some like shows and stuff like that, you know.
I guess one thing I want to say is your current... No, there's two. I want to talk about two things, but one thing is your current Herald team, Sam and Diane.
Yes.
Is a pun on the famous Cheers characters, Sam and Diane.
Man.
Although the name of the team is Salmon Like the Fish, Diane.
Right.
You did not know it was a pun.
No idea. No clue. I would have voted against that immediately. And then when I found out it was
you
a pun.
You voted for it.
Voted for it.
It was just two nonsense
two
words.
Two nonsense words. I love nonsense. Lewis Carroll, that shit. You know, like get fucking real nonsensical.
Yeah.
This makes, and I just like it. I laughed really hard when I heard it. I also. So mine made it from the beginning to the end. One of the last three was Mrs. Miyagi. We were almost. Just thought that was
That's
fun.
That's terrific. Yeah.
And then Gethard. I saw Gethard that night, and he's like outside. He's like, dude, I'm texting Nate. That's the worst name ever. You
he
guys
does
are gonna be
that
shitty.
Every time there's a bunch of new Herald names.
And then I got like aggressive with him. I was like, dude, I bet you $20 would be anchor team in a month.
You know?
And we were. And that's the, you know, he didn't shake on it. He doesn't owe me 20.
Okay.
But yeah. So it was just like one of those things. I had no clue. I had absolutely no idea. And then I found out and I was like, really? And I loved it even more. I was like one of those things where like I was like, well, oops.
Yeah.
I really love this. So then I started watching Cheers. because
great
of
show,
that.
Right?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ted Danson is my hero.
He's terrific, yeah.
Oh shit.
The
man.
Show is a bulletproof
Sam Malone,
machine.
I was like, I want that role.
Yeah.
That's, if
oh,
they
yeah,
can create
be,
a role
yeah.
in that, that's I want
you'd
Sam
be
Malone's
good at that.
Role.
I want to be Rhea Perlman. I think the other thing, we don't have time to do this justice, but I would right. feel dumb not bringing it up all. You're on Sandino. Sandino's
yeah,
one of the
man.
Best teams that's ever been on Herald Night.
Yeah.
And really, really amazing. And that yeah. we should have a podcast where we talk about great Herald teams, and maybe we'll do that. But we'll just talk briefly about
sure,
it. What
sure.
was it like to be on Sandino?
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
what makes Sandino good? You were from the inside.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like being on a lot of different teams, it was funny to like come into that formula.
Yeah,
you know, and see why it worked. They really loved each other, which a lot of people didn't like from the outside. Like, this team loves each other way too much. But, uh-huh. like, there was a genuine love between everyone.
Okay.
I think that was developed, but there was something I know, like, right away they were kind of the misfits a little bit, and they just decided as a group, which
yes.
is still rare to nowadays, to, like, decide as a group that, like, we're just going to do this. And they, like, went at it, like, 1,000%.
Well, what is this?
It was like...
I feel like that's easy to say, but
yeah,
hard to do, so...
Sure. I think it was like... what's the definition of go for it? You know, a lot yeah. Non-censorship. What happens, the teams I've been on, someone brings up an idea. Six people immediately go, sure, yeah. And then two people go like, yeah, okay, but. And you know what?
Yeah.
There was none of that. And yeah. I found like the best team or like the most easy teams I've been on, everyone just said yes right away. And I think they all just said yes right away, whereas everyone was like, hey, why don't we try this? And someone was like, I don't like that. I want to do this. Like, right away, it's – I understand, like, voicing your opinion.
Yeah.
But there was always, like, some, like, negative kind of like, oh, you're sucking the air out of this. And maybe it's just the way people did it.
Yeah.
Because it's – hey, you're paying fucking money. You're on this team. Like,
yeah.
your voices should be heard. Like,
yes.
It's one of those things. But there was something about the way people would do it
yeah.
that would just bring the team down. And it was just one
now,
of those things.
As a naysayer myself
right.
and a frequently critical person,
right.
I've been that person. So just devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, it sounds – lovely. And
yeah.
I've been in dynamics where it's a very like
yeah.
very positive and move mm-hmm. forward dynamic. But what if somebody brings up something you just really hate?
Mm-hmm.
Like what if somebody brought up boy, I don't know, improv wise. What if somebody said, let's come out to this song and mm-hmm. do like big musical theater production mm-hmm. and we'll do like
yeah.
and we'll just like big smiles mm-hmm. and commit fully and then we're gonna
right.
I don't know, something
yeah,
that like, you really
like,
don't like. Or what if, yeah, I don't know, something that just like you, I'm trying to think of something like that
yeah.
might be distasteful to
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, maybe something like that. And someone's
okay.
like, I just don't like The Flash.
Okay,
like, I really
yeah.
don't want to do that.
Like I feel they have like good reason, good like well-intentioned reasons for it. I feel like that's arrogant or I feel like it's milking the opening. I'd rather just be quickly
yeah.
get to the show.
I mean, as a like fellow, like I understand that. Like
yeah.
I would never go like, fuck. But in my experience, I'm just talking in my experience. Those were never the best teams for some reason because
yeah.
I felt like there was always someone censoring some fun thing that everyone wanted. Hey, we're fucking grown-ups. We're making shit up on stage. If you're censoring like one little thing, you have to think about like the big picture of what we're actually doing.
Yeah.
It just always irked me a little bit to
yeah.
be like, come on, man, you're going to play a fucking fish in 2 seconds. You don't want to like just sing with your team and come out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey,
yeah,
but
yeah.
At the same time, like that's my opinion. I totally
yeah.
understand and respect your opinion for not wanting to do that.
Yeah.
It's just,
I mean, I would like to be like you're describing before. I'm just trying
yeah.
to.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, we're going to do this. And everyone just said yes. And it was just made things easier because you could move forward and do that instead of arguing about doing it. And that translates to scene work. That translates to practice. That translates to if everyone just kind of goes like, yeah, because you could still say your opinion and still try. There's nothing that says you can't try to do it. And if you try to do it once or twice and you still dislike it, shame on for the other people for not understanding it. Be like, hey, guys, I gave this a shot. I just don't see the value or
yeah.
something like that. But if you might try it and love it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But censoring it before it even happens
yeah.
always irked me because
yeah.
it's like you don't even know. You're
yeah.
saying you don't like it, but maybe that was with a different – maybe it was with different people that you played with that were all a different type of player. This is a
what
new
if somebody
team.
Says, let's do a Herald tonight, make it meta. Let's mm-hmm. play it all as ourselves and we're all going to be our own name. I'm trying to think if people have problems with meta.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And this might like make me go like, okay, why?
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. But if one person said it.
Yeah.
I always ask, like, yeah, cool. Like, what's your idea? Like, what's
the- we go out and we're just gonna say our names. We call each other by our real names, and we try to use as many real specifics from our lives as possible.
Good. I'm in. I mean, I don't know. I say yes to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything excites me. I don't know. Really, seriously, everything excites me. Like, I want to try that. And if it sucks, that's okay. I'm okay with failing. I'm okay with failing hard.
Yeah.
And getting the note on it and maybe never doing it again, or maybe doing it again. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it didn't work that time.
Yeah.
Maybe we have to do it again. I don't know. Like, we censor ourselves a lot. We don't take the chances. We talk ourselves out of a lot of things. We're nervous by nature. We're kind of heady people, I guess, in this industry. So it's like, we could talk yourselves out of stuff. Like, more, if you're more on the actor side, you can convince yourself of something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're a good actor, you could probably convince yourself of something that's like, oh, I can't do that or else this will happen. But I'd say don't censor yourself before you like try it and really want to do it. Now, I'm talking about like newer Harold teams too.
Yeah.
Like older Harold teams, it just got easier and easier because people are just kind of give a shit a little less in a good way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't make it so sacred.
Yeah.
They're just like, let's have fun. Let's say, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
But there's still like naysayers out there. And especially on new teams, like that you think you have to do it perfect every time. And it's got to be this grand thing. And remember the shoves? Remember like Sandino and Fuand?
Yeah.
We're going to be Fuand. You're going to be 85.
Yeah. You know,
it's like
yeah.
all that stuff. And it's like, I think a great thing that Nate sent out, in his emails when you're like get onto a team is like he said like there's like a list of like kind of things like an introduction to Harold Knight for a new team, and he says it three different times. He says just say yes to everyone, say yes to people's ideas.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I feel like you can develop your team voice if everyone just kind of says yes to ideas and you mold it together, except someone being like, I want to try meta Harolds, and someone be like, I don't think so, we want to do this type of, and you know, it's like this kind of thing. It's like, I want to try this, and be like, okay, you kind of like build up to it. You kind of just say yes to it and be like, all right, let's see where this goes. Because if everyone says yes on your team, you can develop a team voice. Because you might be a think, you might be like sit down. Every team's different. And what you love about Ruru is different than what you love about the Stepfathers.
Right.
So it's like, there's still two awesome fucking teams that you should see. But there's a difference there, and it's just a team voice.
Yeah.
And you'd never get to that team voice if you say no. That's in my opinion. I mean, that's a long-winded answer, but
no,
I'm pretty passionate about that because I've been around. So, yeah, I think that's why Sandino worked.
No, I think it's a great answer. That was a much better answer than I deserved.
It was a little dysfunctional family going in. You know, everyone kind of loved and hated each other, and there was a lot of email chains, and it's just this kind of, like, internal thing. Then, but everyone, like, whenever someone brought up something, it was either, like, fuck no, or, like, fuck yes, you know what I mean? There's a lot of passion behind everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, eh, you know, it was just like... And usually it was fuck yes. Usually on everything it was like, let's fucking do it. Let's get this coach to do this with us. Let's push our boundaries. Let's push the form, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would love Sandino to do is maybe slow down at some point. Like at one point in the show, like slow down or like do a very like, because we did some like committed like serious Harolds and stuff in practice and shit like that. And they were just so fun and awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the high octane shows that we would always bring. I was like, I would love one of them just to kind of go like,
right,
what if we just like didn't say anything? What if we did a silent Harold? Like, what if we like did something very...
Do you guys have like full attendance at a lot of your shows usually?
Oh, they're packed, yeah.
No. I mean like the cast.
Packed. Packed, man. The cast, man. All eight people were there most of the time.
Because I think that's what like when you have smaller subsets of your group show up, that's when you get like different...
Rarely, I mean, someone had to miss because of something like work or something like that.
Yeah.
Like something like someone booked something, someone had couldn't get out of a work conflict. But most of the time, like, and we would practice during the day sometimes, which people couldn't do that for a little bit, you know, but then people got jobs.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, there was things to our advantage as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was only there for 9 months. You know, there's people there for 2.5 years.
Right.
But that's what I saw. Like, coming from the outside, that was the thing that always kept them going. And everyone was so... fucking, they were good. They were really good people.
Yeah.
They're really good improvisers.
Yeah.
You know what
Individually,
I mean? That's the whole thing. There was
firepower.
Some serious firepower.
Really smart people. Yeah. Good range.
Good range.
Good sense of what's funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And knew
that
how to
helps
play
too.
Together. Yeah. It was really fun. But taking chances with those guys, man, I'll never miss that. I always cherish that. That was fucking badass fun.
Well, we could talk about another hour, but I'm going to wrap it up here because this has been a pretty long one.
Yeah,
I would like to talk about it more. No, you were terrific. Thanks
yeah.
for being our
no,
the
no
guest.
Thanks,
I want to talk about this more. We're going to get – that's a good idea for an episode maybe. Get some people who are on great teams to talk about why they think it worked. I think that'd be fun to talk
about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But Don Finelli.
Yeah.
You were fantastic. Thanks for coming in and doing this.
No problem.
Thanks to my co-host, John Prashant, who had to run out to do an audition, and I hope he booked it.
Yeah.
And Cypher Sounds, thank you as always.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Ian, thank you for helping Cypher. Let's wrap this up.
All I ever wanted, all I ever needed was here in my arms. Words are very unnecessary. They can only do harm.